Today's scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord.
If you weren't with us last week, we began looking at this passage. It's a tremendously difficult passage for us late modern, postmodern people, as I talked about, and I gave some historical, context for why that is the case. And just to even understand what's going on here, you need to have a bigger vision of the world. And so I thought that's what I'd try to do for you. I am piecemeal deciding to give you a biblical theology about supernatural spirits, about demons, angels, and kind of what is broken with the world. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're picking that up from last week. And if you missed that message and you're interested in this topic matter, I'd urge you to go onto our YouTube channel and look at last week's message. But this is kind of a continuation in a message that I've entitled Discerning the Demonic. The seventh isn't just something that happened in an ancient book. It is the reality of the world that we live in. And if you're going to live inside this world, you should have some competency to understand that the demonic is real. And how is it that inside of the resources that we have through Jesus our Messiah, that you can discern that and live properly in this world in a way that's joyful and free? Now, this is going to be kind of essentially one of two parts. This first part, which I want to entitle, it's a kind of the subtitle is Anti-Human Religious Ideologies. And it's in this passage, but somewhat more indirectly. And in order for you to see this, you kind of need a bigger picture of how basically the devil works with powers and rulers and authorities. And that's what today's message is going to be about, okay? So let's get into it. Part one. Rulers and authorities with demonic culture-making ideas and values. Okay? Rulers and authorities with demonic culture-making ideas and values. Part two, more recent demonic anti-human religious ideology. This is a story about a culture and a time that's beset with many demons. You said the demons, see, it wasn't just one. He called himself Legion. There's lots of them. And inside that time and that place, they're beset with a lot of the demonic. But I want to give you something that's a little bit more recent so you can see, at least I hope you can see, this will help you to see, it's not just something from 2,000 years ago. And part three, defeating the devil through the blood of the Lamb King. It's important that the king is a lamb. And it's important that he sheds his blood. So we'll talk about that in part three. Okay, so part one, rulers and authorities with demonic culture-making ideas and values. So I'm going to take you to a different place in the Bible. This is Ephesians chapter 6. So if you grew up in the church, you may have known this passage, but people don't tend to give a lot of attention to it. And I want to, it's very relevant to this passage from Mark chapter 5. So it goes like this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. And the letter to the Ephesians isn't just for one church. Scholars think it's a circulatory letter that was intended for all the local churches. And now, of course, it's for all the churches. But this is what he says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in how smart you think you are, how strong you think you are, but be strong in his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So I highlighted that for you. I'm trying to help you to see that this idea about demons and devil is not some ancillary little thing. Christians in the modern world, we're kind of embarrassed about this subject matter, and so we tend not to talk about the devil, we tend not to talk about the demonic, but it's not some little thing that we can shove to the side inside of Christianity. It's in the middle of Christianity. It's in the middle of the Bible. If you're trying to just take this out and just walk through life apart from this, you're really trying to reduce the way you look at life, and actually you're not dealing with the fact that there are schemes of the devil that you and I, if you believe in Jesus, that you have to deal with. And you know what? You need an armor. That's what these sermons are for, to help arm you with the truth so you can deal with what we're dealing with in according to the Bible, okay? Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me say it again. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's hard because there are people who are infected with the ideas of the devil. And so, yes, in some sense, we really are fighting them. But actually, what the Bible is trying to say is you're fighting something worse than people. And this is a hard thing because we have to fight the lies and the enemies of Christ with righteousness as Christians. But we also want to love our enemies. And they really are enemies. They really hate Jesus. And they really hate us for loving Jesus. But at the same time, we want to love our enemies because, again, our King Jesus commanded us to do so. And this form of love is how we fight. But we fight with a grace and a truth and a love. But the real fight is not against flesh and blood. So that's and we just read this kind of stuff if you grew up in the church. But we don't emphasize this next part. And here's what I want to get to. But we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities. So there are four sets here that are set, but really it's two. First, against the rulers and against the authorities. And then it says, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor. Here we go again. You must be armed, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's what we're dealing with. It isn't just back then Jesus crosses over to the other side of the water and he's dealing with the evil of that time. We're dealing with it too, right? And having done all, to stand firm. Now let's go back to the previous slide. Against the rulers, against the authorities. That's what today's message is about. How does the cosmic powers over this present darkness? So this is a message about demons and over the lies and schemes of the devil. But one of the primary ways that the lies of the devil is expressed in the world is through our rulers. Rulers and authorities. It's connected right there. And most cultures, guess what people do? We just like our rulers. Now in America, we have this ideology, you get to choose our rulers. And so what we have is, we have generally two camps. We have a left-wing camp and we have a right-wing camp. And both those guys like, okay, they like, we like these people, we want them to be our rulers. No, we like these people, we want them to be our rulers. But what I want to ask you is, maybe, very possibly, maybe they're just not just normal, rational human beings. And beyond what they think or know, there is a power behind them, underneath them, that's worse than just human. That's what I want to propose to you. And that's what today's message is about, to help you to understand that essentially the demonic is not just the demon went into this person and now he's growling, blah, right? That's what the movies show. Years ago, there was when I was a younger pastor, one of the leaders in my church asked me this question when we were looking at a passage like this. He says, Pastor, how come we don't see stuff like this that often? And I go, let me give you two answers. One is, this does exist, where people are possessed and they're cutting themselves and doing terrible things. That's real. I said, oh, you just might not have dealt with it. But I said, here's another explanation. Why do demons have to possess individuals when they basically already own the government, our media, our rulers, when they just spread lies and just infect people's minds and then people embrace their lies and their wickedness willingly? So I think that's a lot. I said that, gosh, that was like 12 years ago when I said that. It just seems much more obvious today to me that that is the reality. Okay. Now let me take you to another passage so you can just see I'm not just lifting this out of just one passage. I'm going to take you to the passage, this very important passage that I cited last week, which was about the origin of the devil. And this is a prophetic word from Ezekiel chapter 28. And I left a portion out. And I'm going to put that in today and help you to see this because it's relevant to this subject about how the devil works through rulers and authorities. So let's go to Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Here's what it says. So this is the portion I left out. And if you were here last week, you'll recognize the passage that comes next, okay? Which is a word about the origin of the devil himself. But this is what it says. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me. This is the prophet Ezekiel, son of man. So this is what God said to him. He called him son of man. Raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. So God wants to say something to a particular individual. It's a pretty important individual, the king of Tyre. And he was a powerful ruler at the time. But then what Ezekiel is supposed to say to the king of Tyre is really weird. It's very, really weird. It goes like this. And you'll recognize this from last week. Verse 12. You are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. So let's just stop for a moment. Was the king of Tyre in Eden? It's really strange. You have this king, very important and powerful in his time and his age. But soon as God addresses him, it's immediately obvious we're not talking about a man. We're talking about something else. I'll jump forward to verse 14. You are an anointed guardian cherub. And a cherub is an angel. A very, very high angel. The Bible even says he's anointed, which means he's set apart. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God in the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. This is the way God made this angel. Till unrighteousness was found in you. Verse 16, in the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17, your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. This is God talking to a king, but I don't think he's just talking to a king. You see it? I cast you to the ground. I expose you before kings to feast their eyes on you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. So I brought fire out from your midst. It consumed you, and I turned you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all who saw you. This is what God does to kings, who are just like the devil. And maybe those kings are controlled by the devil. When God talks to these kings and speaks to these kings, he basically just addresses the devil. And he describes what the devil is like. But you know, it's really interesting. There are many kings that are like, just let's go back to verse 17. Your heart was proud because of your beauty, because you think you're so grand. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Let's go to verse 18. And there's a multitude of iniquities and the unrighteousness of the way you do trade. And you profane the things that are supposed to be righteous. Sanctuaries where righteousness should happen, you profane them, you corrupt them. This is what God says rulers do. But this is also what the devil does. And I'm going to revisit Isaiah chapter 14. I want to just say this to you again. Think about our rulers. Think about rulers in the world. And are they like this? They are like this. Oh, they're so like this. It's so common. It's like if you miss it, you just basically don't know anything about history and how the world works. But here's Isaiah 14. This is, again, God speaking of the devil. Verse 13, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. Stars there, a lot of scholars think, means angels, above the angels of God. So Satan himself is called the morning star. And he thinks, I will be higher than all the stars. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol. Sheol is the place of death. It's hell. To the far reaches of the pit. So I want to just first give you, these are other biblical places, and to help you to have an expansive picture. And most people don't think about this. We live in this place where, okay, we're rational people, we have democracy, we can just negotiate with ourselves and use our wisdom to decide who rules over us, and we'll have a good society. Except there's more going on than that. Now let me take you to our passage. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And I just want to just show you, it's in this passage. In this very, you can get this way. It says here, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. Why does that matter? Because this is not Israel. That's why it matters. Here the rulers are different. The ideas are different. The cultural and moral values are different. The worldview is different. So if you go back in history, further than this, this is an area that's conquered by the Romans. All the area has been conquered by the Romans. But the Romans were in their mind, they're very prideful about being a tolerant people, and they let them keep their religion. But in this area, you have this admixture of Hellenistic religion and Jews. And actually, the Hellenistic pagan demonic religions are winning on this side of the waters. That's what this is about. Jesus is going there, and he is going to do a work. So let's go to verse 20. I've just emphasized this part. And at the end of the miracle, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis. So this is the guy who was just healed. He went the way after Jesus. No, you can't follow me. Why don't you just go tell people what I've done for you, what God has done for you? And he says, and he went to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him, and everyone marveled. So let me go to the next slide. This is the Decapolis. So it's, the previous passage is about Jesus and his disciples going through the water. And remember, then there's a horrible storm, and they think they're going to die, and they get to the other side. So I'm not sure if we could show this very well. If you could see that little bit of water, that's the Sea of Galilee. And to the left is Galilee, and the south is Samaria, and the south of that is Judea. That's Israel. That's where more or less the Jews are, and they have a biblical worldview. Their values, their vision of life, it helps keep their society from being beset by demons. There are still demons there, but it keeps the place from being utterly chaotic. But then Jesus just goes across to the other side. You see this? I don't know if you can see it there. There's a little town just underneath called Gadara. And a lot of scholars think the Gerasenes, that's Gadara. So that's the area that Jesus is talking about. And you notice, I just want to point this out before we, I want to say one more point before I get to part two. You notice they see this spectacular, incredible thing, this man that everybody's afraid of, and they just remove him from the side while the legion of demons controls him. And then once he is redeemed from it, they go, Jesus, can you please come here into our area and release a lot more demons? Because that would be really, really great, because we got some other really crazy, violent, dangerous forces running around our society. Is that what they said? That's not what they said. They said, would you please leave? Get out. Get out. And one of the things I want to point to you is because that's their culture. Their rulers, their values, their worldviews, they just saw something spectacular from God, but they didn't actually want that. What they want is just leave. We like our world this way. And that's another way to say, it isn't just that the demonic was overrunning this one man, it's that land is demonic. It's a dark and awful place. And yet Jesus went there and did this one miracle and said, spread the word. And that's what human beings are like. That's what life is like. Now, let's say one more point is culture and who rules, it shapes the way you look at your whole reality. So worldview matters. And worldview and the ideas that you believe about the world shapes your morality, shapes what you think is right, shapes your pride. It shapes what you're very open to. And you notice we live in a time when people are very not open to God. They're open to every other thing. But they don't know that when you're open to every other thing but God, a lot of dirty things show up too. And that's the way our time is. There's a lot of dirty and chaotic things in our time. And I'm going to talk more about this next week. I'll just give you this one example. Do you notice that it is a normal thing in American 21st century? Somebody decides it's a good idea to take a gun and show up in a school and just start murdering kids. That's normal. Normal in America. So if some preacher like me comes along and says, maybe we need God. Maybe we need a better spirit. Maybe the problem is not just guns. That's the left-wing answer. Let's get rid of the guns. And then maybe we just need better psychology. That might be the right-wing answer. But maybe we need a bigger answer than that. But if there's any pastor like me who were to offer that kind of answer, what do you think would happen? You all know what would happen. Get out of here. We don't want to hear that stuff. Just leave. We live in Decapolis today. It's very, very relevant. Let's go to part two. More recent demonic anti-human religious ideologies, okay? And so I want to do this quickly. I'm just going to go through a bunch of these quickly. All right? So if you don't think it gets really bad, so here's the one that I'll just show you. To me, this just comes from hell. And so, next slide, sacrificing children to idols. It's utterly normal in human history. Utterly normal. Okay? So, the example of the Bible is Canaanite religion. You know why God hated the Canaanites? So, as a younger man, I'd read the Bible. Israel, God said, I'm going to give you the land where the Canaanites are. I want you to go in there and kill all of them. I said, whoa. I said, that just seems like genocide. Until you find out what they're like. So they worshipped a god named Molech. Let's go to the next slide. And let me tell you what is a normal practice in the Canaanite worship of Molech. You take your children and you burn them up on a pyre. Just why? Because gods need blood and sacrifice to be paid, and these are the gods of fertility. So what is the expression of fertility? Children. So we give them kids and just kill them. God hated these people, absolutely hated these people. And he decided he could wipe them out, and he will wipe them out. That's history. It's real. Well, that's in the Bible, Pastor. I'll give you another example. Next. So if you've ever read anything about Mayan culture or Incan culture, I was reading about this just a couple years ago in the middle of the pandemic, and it was talking about European conquest and actually what the Spaniards did to the Aztecs, the Incans, all these. It's really horrible, quite frankly, okay? But one of the reasons why they hated these people is because when you go to their temple, what you found out was utterly normal in the Mayan and Incan cultures was that they would murder their children to their gods. And you go to the temple, and behind the temple is just bones in their, I guess, cemetery? And if you dig up these bones, there are tons and tons of children's skeletons. That's what they found. Right? In our very polite 21st century, we're so enlightened. All the cultures are so equal, right? We don't want to talk about that. Because if you're white and you're a good liberal, if you say that, that makes you sound like you're a racist. So that never comes up in the university. But it's true. It's true. Let's move on. Let's give you another example. Post-Christian demonic movements from the 20th century. So, Canaanites are ancient people. The Mayans are Incans. They go back a few hundreds of years. And their descendants are still around, but their civilizations have been basically wiped out. But 20th century, we're talking about not even 100 years ago. Your parents, your grandparents have lived through this period. I've lived through this period. And absolutely, the devil was very, very busy in the 20th century. Extremely busy. So let me give you the first example, and it shouldn't surprise you. It's Nazi Germany. But did you know that Nazi Germany weren't the only fascists? At the exact same time, their neighbor, Italy, was also fascist. And both regimes were godless. And they had a form of ways of nationalism. It's a form of dirty nationalism. And they put all of the things that they hated upon a certain class of people, most famously the Jews. And the Nazis murdered 6 million Jews, as you know, or should know. But did you know that Hitler hated Slavs too? If he was semi-rational, he would never have started the war on his east wing. He shouldn't have gone into war against Czechoslovakia, against the Poles, against USSR. If he had done that, he might have won World War II. Do you know that? But he hated them too. He hated the Slavs. He said that these are dirty people with dirty blood. It's an anti-human ideology. It's an anti-human religion. How was all of Germany swept up? Well, because it was a spiritual movement. It's a religious movement that swept up the nation. And I'm sure there are lots of people who are like, well, I like my Jewish neighbors. And I don't really have anything against Polish people. I got a cousin who's Russian. And lots of Germans lived in the Czech, in what today we'd call the Czech Republic. And they're like, well, his wife is Slavic. But it doesn't matter. The dirty spirit had swept up the ruler of the nation. And now this was being unleashed to great violence. And then let me give you the most horrible example. Next, it's communism. Did you know communism is a religion? Today we live inside of this unbelievably stupid idea that religion is only about supernatural gods. If you make human beings their own god, it's its own religion. Communism is fundamentally a spiritual and religious movement. It's not fundamentally about politics. It's a religious movement. And let me just say what I said here. There has never been a more murderous religious ideology in all of history than communism. It was built on erasing God and asserting man as God or Lord over others. You don't agree with the great big brother? It's off to Siberia. And your family, they're dirty. They can die. And it wasn't just Russia. It wasn't just Czechoslovakia. It wasn't just Romania or Poland. Everywhere communism is gone with that religious demonic spirit, millions and millions of people died in Vietnam, in Cambodia, in China, in North Korea. Millions and millions of people were murdered. It's demonic. And so, that's really heavy, I know. But it's a heavy topic. All right, let's just give you one more. Let's give you the one that's today, that I see is today. Today, the transgender agenda is a religious set of lies. It's a demonic worldview. It's not just another worldview. It's not just political. It's religious. And the spirit underneath it isn't just a bunch of rulers. Well, it's a lot worse spirit than our rulers. This is what we're dealing with. So, let me make this point. I can't get too much on this, but let me just explain. There is no God in the transgender, so the God that we know anyway, there's no God. But you can be your own God. You can be your own creator. You can make yourself. That's basically saying you're your own God. It would sound too stupid if you said, hey, kids, you're your own God. But if you say, you know, you could decide if you're gender non-binary. Later on, you can decide if it's a good idea to get rid of your breasts. The belief underneath that teaching is you're your own God. Let's go to the next one. And I want to make this point. Note that even children must be sacrificed to the God of the self and the dirty vision of sexuality underlying today's secular religion. There's a God, a spirit under this religion. Just because the people who say they go, it's not a religion. It's a religion. There's a theology. There are wicked ideas. And you notice it sacrifices the kids. I can't think too much about it. If I think too much about it, I get so upset. I get so livid and angry. There's a famous thinker today. His name is Jordan Peterson. He's not a Christian. But he was talking about the trans agenda on his podcast, and today he just calls them butchers. The butchers that do this. And I was like, whoa. I never heard anybody be so blunt and honest about it. That's right. They're butchers. But if I describe it spiritually, they're sacrificing the children to their God. It's demonic. And in this church, I don't know if you will like what I'm saying here, or you may be offended by what I'm saying here is, but I want to help our church to stay clean, that we will not be infected by an unclean spirit. We will not be the Gerasene. We will not be Decapolis. Inside of this city, which is the modern-day Decapolis, we want the Holy Spirit. We want the true King who crushes or destroys the lies and wickedness of the devil so we could love our children. We could protect them and give them up to our King Jesus so they could thrive. Now let's go to part three. This is a really heavy message. And I hope you will understand that it needs to be heavy, and we don't normally think about these heavy matters. That's what expository preaching kind of forces the hand of a pastor. Oh, that's the next passage. Like, whoa. Okay, let's teach this. And I want to take you to a passage that I gave you last week. This is how we will defeat the devil. The Bible says we defeat the devil through the blood of the Lamb. And he's a different kind of king. He is a king, he is a ruler, far above and far more holy and pure than any king that's ever been on this earth or ever will be. And by his blood, we can fight and defeat the devil and the wickedness in our midst, okay? So here's the passage. Revelation 12. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. That's why we're dealing with this. There was a war in heaven, and God kicked the rebellious angels, whom we call demons, out. And he actually allowed them to be on the earth. That's kind of a tough pill. I'm like, why did you do that, God? I think he knew he was going to make a set of people. The angels could not be redeemed. Once they fell, they were going to be crushed. But then he made a set of people that could be far above angels in his image. And he would give us a pathway. And he would say, would you be like the devil? I made you high and exalted and glorified and loved and precious, even more so than this angel. Will you love me? That is the question of life, actually. Every day you wake up, will you be what God made you to be? Or will you listen to all the spirits of this world and seek to be what you want to be apart from God? If you will be whatever you want to be apart from God, I assure you, you are listening to the demonic. And you think, well, I'm just listening to myself. If God can enslave kings and then start talking to them like the devil, you don't think that, I mean, if the devil can enslave kings and God can speak to them like as if they're devil, don't you think the devil can speak to you and fool you right out of your own voice? A good friend of mine, who's actually the best man at wedding, he was reading a book on spiritual warfare many years ago, and he read this passage that just completely blew his mind. And he told me about it. And it's always stuck with me ever since. He said, sometimes the devil speaks to us in the first person. You guys know what the first person is, right? Sometimes the devil speaks to us through your own voice. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Oh, now we're getting to the good news. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. That's what's happening to you all the time. You're not good enough. You just need more money. You know, that's really inconvenient. Does God and Christianity, is that stuff really real? If you just cut this corner, you will have more better things in your life. And you'll be happy. Because you know you're not really worth much. And if you don't get the success, you'll be nothing. You ever hear that voice? It's really strange how we get these voices and our thoughts. Do you think you're in control of your thoughts? Are you really in control of your thoughts? Where do some of your thoughts come from? And aren't they filled with strange accusations? Terrible accusations. Things that make you turn away from the truth you should stand in. Verse 11. And they, that is, those who are redeemed by Jesus, have conquered him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So what's the blood of the Lamb? Jesus shed his blood so that we'll be washed. We celebrated that during our confession of sin and assurance of forgiveness. And what is the word of their testimony? The word that we testify about the Lamb. In other words, it's the word of the gospel. And sometimes it's not just a word directly about the gospel, the testimony of, I've experienced this new freedom. I've experienced this forgiveness. I've experienced this liberation, just like this demon-possessed man. He runs out and says, I met this guy, Jesus. Let me tell you, this is what he did. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and the sea. That's the era we're living in. The heavens can rejoice, but the earth and the sea, there's woe going on. For the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is what we're living in. You know, I want to close with a little reflection about why the king must be a lamb and why he must shed his blood. The Bible says that the blood of the lamb, of the most pure lamb, washes away our sins. There's reasons for that, because those who are condemned to death must be paid for. A ransom must be given so they can be rescued. Their ransom payment is blood. That's one reason. Another reason is that we are filled with wickedness and guilt and shame. And the Bible says we must be washed. And it must be one who is pure. That's another reason. But let me give you one more reason, which is relevant to today's message. We need a king. We need a ruler that the devil can never control. We need a king who will not fall to the pride and the iniquity and the violence of power. We must have a king who is so righteous and so holy and so pure that he will shed the most humble blood, so that a wicked people who are trapped and lied to and enslaved by the devil, by the demonic, by their rulers, by the little lies in our head or the gigantic lies coming from our culture, only the blood of the most pure and humble king. When that king speaks into your life, when that blood washes you of your pride, you can know there you can be freed of the devil. The Son of God became a human being so that he would be a king like there's that we would ever need. Remember the previous sermons before this passage? It was about the seed of the kingdom. You and I, we need a king. You know, we all want to follow somebody. It's very, very hard to get our friends to just jump on the Democrat bandwagon and try to reason them out. You know why you can't reason them out? It's because they're under a spell. It's very, very hard to reason your friends out on the political right, out of this Republican righteousness. You know, if we just do this and hate on these people, then, you know, we'll be a righteous nation again. It's very hard to reason them out because they're under a demonic spell. It's the pride of man. But only if there could be a king and a ruler better, greater, purer. And inside of his redemptive work is a humility that the world has never seen. The one who already has almighty power and sits on the most high throne. But unlike the devil, he goes, I've got to get rid of that throne because I want to sit there. Instead, he came down from the throne to be at the most bottom place, to be a lamb for us. And as a lamb, he would shed his blood so that that humble blood can release us from the shackles of demonic lies and enslavement. That's the gospel. If you would allow that king to wash over you and that truth to wash over you, and you allow your ear and your heart to always sit in his call and his word and his promises, and you would be amongst his people when the Holy Spirit is poured out and his most glorious word, the gospel, is proclaimed, then you too can conquer the devil. And you can be like these saints who are not afraid to die. They're not afraid when the world threatens you. You won't have to be afraid when the world threatens you with being canceled or to reject you, to hate you, maybe even kill you. You want to know how Jesus will conquer the devil? This is how he has done it. He's been doing this for 2,000 years. This is still how he's doing it. It's just that we live in this demonic land, and honestly, we're a bunch of cowards. And we're so duped by the secular religiousness of our times. We've never thought that maybe we need to have the courage of our Chinese brothers who would die in the face of communist oppression, of our brothers who live in Muslim countries and they get murdered by their own cousins, or people who live in Hindu lands and their dirty ideologies kill them. But we are now living in the land of the Gerasenes too. And I call you Revived Church. Let's believe in our King, the Lamb King. And let's live and conquer the devil. Yes? Let's pray.